Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to imagine for a second the sheer scale of the logistical nightmare that's happening inside your body right now.
It's a lot of traffic.
Yeah, exactly. You have, billions of immune cells zooming through your bloodstream and your tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep them from causing this massive biological pileup, your body relies on a GPS system made up of just 46 different molecular messengers, which are called chemokines, and 23 receptors.
Right, which is remarkably small.
Right, that is a tiny amount of bandwidth to coordinate all that chaotic traffic.
Hmm.
And when this system works, it guides cells to heal wounds and it even helps your brain develop.
Absolutely.
But this very same communication network gets hijacked. It gets used by cancer cells to metastasize and by viruses like HIV and COVID-19 to, invade your system.
Yeah, it really is a double-edged sword.
It makes you wonder, what really happens when this communication network gets hacked, and how could cracking its underlying code change how we treat disease entirely?
Today, we celebrate the work of the team led by Andrew B. Kleist, Brian F. Folkman, M. Medan Babu, and their collaborators at institutions including the Medical College of Wisconsin, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and the MRC Laboratory of Molecular Biology, who have advanced our understanding of the human chemokine GPCR interaction network.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the core puzzle here is genuinely mind-bending when you think about it structurally.
It really is.
We have these 46 chemokine ligands just floating around your tissues, right?
Yeah.
Trying to find their match among the 23 GPCRs on the surfaces of your cells. And almost all of them share these highly conserved, practically identical structural folds.
Yeah, if you look at them under a molecular microscope, they look incredibly similar.
Exactly. Yet somehow, they form this insanely complex network of over 100 validated interactions. I mean, some of them are strictly monogamous, like a highly selective one-to-one match.
Right.
And then others are wildly promiscuous, basically binding to almost anything they bump into. It's like having a giant bowl of keys and a massive wall of locks that all look identical to the naked eye.
That's a great way to picture it.
Yet somehow, the right keys usually find the right locks without jamming the entire cellular network.
It is a remarkable feat of molecular engineering, but it's actually the paradox of those identical structures that makes this so fascinating.
How so?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this ligand receptor system is the fundamental mechanism for cellular migration. It's not just about, guiding white blood cells to a paper cut.
Right, it's bigger than that.
Much bigger. This system drives cerebellar development in the brain. It builds networks of blood vessels in your gut. It regulates hematopoiesis. The stakes for the organism are monumental.
So the margin for error is basically zero.
Exactly. If the wrong key slots into the wrong lock, the resulting misdirection of cellular traffic leads to severe autoimmune diseases, bleeding disorders, or it provides the exact chemical highway a tumor needs to spread to another organ.
Wow. But mapping that out, with over 100 interactions and molecules that literally shift their physical shapes when they bind, how do you even begin to find the structural rules?
It's definitely a challenge.
Because you can't just take a snapshot of one protein and call it a day, right? The sheer volume of data you'd have to sift through to find tiny structural differences between identical looking proteins just sounds like an absolute nightmare.
Oh, it is a nightmare, which is why previous attempts only gave us, pieces of the puzzle. The scale of the data wrangling in this deep dive is really what sets it apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. They realized early on that looking at human proteins in a vacuum just wouldn't give them the answers. To understand what structural elements truly drive selectivity, they had to look at evolutionary history.
Okay, so going back in time, essentially.
Precisely. The team built a master alignment of over 1,058, to be exact, chemokine sequences and 951 receptor sequences. And this was across more than 60 different species.
Wait, so they're looking at a chemokine in a human and comparing it to the equivalent in like a mouse, a zebrafish, a chicken.
Yes.
Just trying to see what Mother Nature kept and what she discarded over time.
Exactly that. If an amino acid at a specific position hasn't changed in 400 million years of evolution across 60 species, that tells you it is structurally load-bearing.
Ah, okay. Like a pillar in a house.
Right. It's fundamental to the protein's core identity. But if a region is mutating rapidly between species, well, That is where the evolutionary arms race of selectivity is happening.
Wait, I'm trying to picture how you even map that mathematically. You're comparing 60 species, but these proteins aren't all the exact same length, right?
They're definitely not.
Yeah, like a zebrafish protein might have an extra loop or a longer tail than a human one. How do you actually compare them without the alignment shifting completely out of phase?
That's the million-dollar question.
It sounds like trying to translate 60 different languages into a single Rosetta Stone when none of the sentences even have the same number of words.
Yeah, that alignment problem was actually the very first major technical hurdle they had to solve. Because the loops and tails vary in length. Comparing them linearly is useless.
So what did they do?
So the researchers created a completely new, standardized, topological framework. They called it the Common Chemokine Numbering, or CCN, and the Chemokine Receptor Numbering, or CRN, system.
Meaning they anchored it to the 3D shape rather than just, you know, the linear string of letters.
Yes, exactly. It allowed them to compare structural apples to apples, regardless of the sequence length.
Well, that's clever.
It really is. Yeah. If they wanted to investigate position 42 on one specific human chemokine, this system mathematically guaranteed they were looking at the exact structural equivalent position on every other chemokine across all 60 species.
Wow.
Yeah, and once they established that common language, they didn't just look at sequences, they analyzed 16 distinct high-resolution 3D structures of these chemokine VPCR complexes actively binding.
So they basically caught them in the act of the handshake.
Exactly. Using techniques like X-ray crystallography and cryo-EM, they mapped out the physical geometry of the interactions, identifying 953 specific residue-to-residue contacts.
953?
Yes, down to the angstrom level. And then to bridge the gap between those abstract 3D models and real human biology, they integrated massive human genome variant databases like Nomen-D and Genia-TS.
Okay, so looking at real people.
Right. They wanted to see how natural, everyday genetic variations in the human population affect these exact contact points.
You know, here's where it gets really interesting for me. Looking at how they synthesize all this data, the whole system felt much less like a simple biological lock and key and much more like digital cryptography.
Oh, I like that comparison.
Yeah, like they were decoding a multi-factor authentication system or something.
I'd say that analogy holds up really well, provided we recognize that, you know, biological cryptography is physical, not mathematical.
Right.
The classic lock and key metaphor kind of implies a rigid, solid-state interaction. But what the researchers uncovered is this highly sophisticated layered structural encryption. The code that determines whether a chemokine will successfully bind to a receptor is broken down into three distinct independent layers.
Okay, let's break those down. The first layer is what they call the generalized determinants. So sticking with our encryption analogy, these would be the public keys.
Right. The public keys are highly conserved, rigid, disulfide-rich hotspots, specifically relying on cysteines.
Cysteines, okay.
Yeah. These amino acids form strong covalent bonds that essentially hold the core 3D structure of the protein together. They don't tell the receptor the specific identity of the chemokine.
They just prove it's a chemokine.
Exactly. They just provide a baseline molecular verification. They essentially say, yes, my architecture confirms I am a valid chemokine GPCR, and you are authorized to initiate a surface-level handshake.
So the public key gets you through the front door of the high security building. The guard recognizes you work there, but, you know, you still need to find your specific department.
Which brings us to the second layer, subfamily-specific determinants. We can think of these as the semi-private keys.
The semi-private keys.
Yes. Most human chemokines fall into either the CC or CXC subfamilies, and the researchers identified distinct structural sensors that dictate which subfamily a protein belongs to.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the physical geometry of specific amino acids. For instance, CC chemokines heavily rely on a proline amino acid at a specific structural junction.
And the CXC ones?
They rely on a glutamic acid.
And what does swapping those two actually do to the physical shape? Like, why does it matter?
It matters because of how they bend the protein backbone. Proline has a very rigid cyclical ring structure. When you put a proline in a protein chain, it physically introduces a hard kink.
Oh, so it bends it.
It forces the whole molecule to angle sharply in one direction. Glutamic acid, on the other hand, is a longer, more flexible chain that allows the protein to swing the other way.
I see.
This difference creates what the authors call an intrinsic handedness. It physically orients the molecules. Because of that proline kink, a CC chemokine perfectly slots into the binding pocket of a CC receptor.
But if it tries the other one?
Right. If it tries to bind a CXC receptor, the angle is completely wrong and severe molecular clashing happens.
Okay, I love that. It's literally like a USB drive. You have the right port, but if the intrinsic handedness is flipped the wrong way, no matter how hard you push, it just won't slide in.
Exactly like a USB drive.
So we've gotten in the building with the public key, the semi-private key, put us in the right hallway.
Yeah.
What is the final layer that dictates the exact specific match?
The third layer consists of network-specific determinants, or the private keys. This is where the true fine-tuned selectivity happens.
Real password.
Yes. And the brilliance of this system is that these private keys aren't found in the rigid, structured core of the proteins. They are located in the highly unstructured regions.
Unstructured.
Yeah, the flexible floppy tails called N-termini and the extracellular loops between the rigid protein domains. These regions are densely packed with SLIMs, or short linear motifs.
SLIMs. That sounds like a 90s hacker handle. So these floppy SLIM tails are acting like the final private passcode?
They are. And the reason they need to be floppy and unstructured is honestly evolutionary brilliance. Because they aren't load-bearing, you know, because they aren't holding the 3D shape of the protein together, these sequences can mutate and evolve rapidly without breaking the entire molecule.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, these SLIMs are highly variable hotspots. The precise sequence of amino acids on these flexible tails dictates the exact selectivity of who binds to whom.
Oh, it's a combination.
Right, so it's the combinatorial code of the rigid public keys, the angled semi-private keys, and these rapidly evolving floppy private keys that ultimately permits the cellular interaction.
Okay, I want to push back on something here, or at least add a layer to it. What's really wild to me isn't just that these proteins are searching for a match. The analysis makes it clear they're also actively avoiding the wrong matches.
Yes, exactly.
It's not just a lack of attraction, right? It's right. Active repulsion.
You're touching on the concept of negative design, which is arguably one of the most critical findings here. Nature doesn't just rely on thermodynamic attraction. It deliberately engineers molecular roadblocks.
Roadblocks?
Yeah. The researchers found multiple instances where receptors place massive, bulky amino acids like tryptophan directly in the binding path to actively block incorrect pairings.
So if the wrong chemokine floats by and tries to dock, it literally hits a physical wall.
Exactly. It's called steric hindrance. If a non-cognate chemokine tries to bind, its own atoms clash with that bulky residue.
Wow.
It's a violent energetic rejection, akin to trying to force two heavy-duty magnets together by their positive poles. It ensures that even if a promiscuous chemokine has the right public and semi-private keys, the negative design actively vetoes the interaction.
That is brilliant. It makes the traffic system practically foolproof. But let's bring this down from the theoretical 3D models to actual human beings. We mentioned earlier that they integrated human genomic data like NOAA.
We did.
So how do these private keys and flocky SLIMs actually play out in a living person's biology?
This is where the structural biology directly intersects with human diversity. The researchers focused heavily on a specific receptor called ACKR1.
ACKR1, okay.
In the global human population, there's a very common genetic variant located at position 42, which sits right on this receptor's floppy N-terminus, right in the center of its private key.
Okay, so right in the password zone.
Exactly. Some people carry the amino acid glycine at this position, while others have aspartic acid.
Glycine to aspartic acid. A single amino acid change out of hundreds.
It sounds totally negligible, right? But it radically rewrites the private key because of the chemistry involved.
How so?
Well, glycine is tiny and neutral. It's basically just a single hydrogen atom on its side chain. Aspartic acid, on the other hand, is bulky and carries a strong negative electrical charge.
Oh, that's a big difference.
Yeah. When you swap them, you fundamentally alter the electrostatic landscape of that floppy tail. This changes exactly how sticky the ACKR1 receptor is.
And what happens when the stickiness changes? Like, practically?
ACKR1 is heavily present on red blood cells. If that private key mutation makes the receptor super sticky, it pulls chemokines out of the bloodstream, essentially trapping them.
Right.
But if it's less sticky, those chemokines flush freely into the surrounding tissue. This completely shifts the chemical gradient that tells white blood cells where to go. And crucially, this exact variant is the driver of the Duffy null phenotype.
The Duffy null phenotype?
Yeah.
Wait, that's the one historically known for providing natural resistance to certain types of malaria, right?
That's the one. But what this deep dive highlights is that this altered binding directly drives the variations in white blood cell counts we see in populations with this phenotype.
That's incredible.
One single atomic edit to a private key SLIM alters the entire immune trafficking profile for millions of people.
So what does this all mean? We've essentially cracked the encryption. We know how the rigid public keys work. We know how the proline kinks the semi-private keys. We understand the electrostatic charges of the private keys. And, you know, we see the negative design blocking the wrong matches.
Right.
Does that mean we can stop just observing this system and start rewriting the code ourselves?
That is exactly the proof of concept the researchers set out to demonstrate. They wanted to test if they could act as molecular hackers.
Hack the system.
To do it, they took a protein called VMIP2. This is a highly evolved viral chemokine produced by human herpes virus 8. In nature, VMIP2 acts as a biological master key. It is wildly promiscuous and can bind to a huge variety of human receptors to hijack our immune system, essentially allowing the virus to evade detection and spread.
Wait, I need to pause you there. Herpes virus 8 has spent millions of years evolving this perfect promiscuous master key. It's the guy with the skeleton key who can break into any apartment in the building.
Right.
Are you telling me researchers just walked into a lab, swapped a few amino acids, and successfully re-engineered it without the whole protein folding in on itself and falling apart? Because usually, when we mess with viral proteins, we break them.
We do. But that is exactly why understanding the layered cryptography was so essential, because they knew the rigid core, the public keys, held the protein together. They knew to leave those alone.
Oh, so they only touched the password.
Exactly. They only targeted the unstructured floppy tails. They specifically mutated residues within the private key regions of VMIP2, guided by their new rulebook, and it worked beautifully.
They successfully altered its selectivity.
They did. They essentially filed down the teeth on the virus's skeleton key. They transformed this promiscuous master key into a highly selective tool that strongly binds to just a few specific receptors, like CCR5 or CCR3, while entirely losing its ability to unlock any of the others.
Wow. They preserved the structural scaffold but completely rewrote the password. That is incredible.
It's a monumental proof of concept. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it proves we are firmly entering the era of network editing. Think about what we could do with synthetic chemokines designed entirely from scratch.
Like what?
Take CAR T-cell therapy, for instance, where we engineer a patient's immune cells to fight cancer. Currently, one of the biggest bottlenecks is getting those engineered T-cells to actually traffic directly to the solid tumor.
Right, because right now we infuse them into the bloodstream and essentially cross our fingers, hoping they stumble upon the tumor before they get exhausted.
Exactly. They get lost in the noise of the body's natural traffic system. But with network editing, we could use bespoke chemokines as programmable logic gates.
Okay, explain that.
We could engineer a highly specific synthetic receptor onto the SIRE T-cell, and then design a synthetic chemokine that only binds to that specific receptor. We could essentially paint the tumor with this custom GPS beacon, guiding the engineered immune cells exactly where they need to go.
Basically bypassing the body's natural traffic jams entirely.
Exactly.
That sounds like pure science fiction, but it's physically grounded in these structural alignments.
No.
I do have to ask though, biology in a living organism is rarely as clean as a 3D computer model. Are there limitations to this rulebook?
There are significant complexities yet to be mapped, and the researchers are very transparent about that. This study decoded the primary structural sequences of the proteins themselves, but it didn't fully factor in tissue-specific realities.
Like what kind of realities?
For instance, it doesn't account for GAGs, glycosaminoglycans.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. These are complex sugar chains coating the outside of your tissues. Chemokines actually stick to these sheathers to form physical breadcrumb trails for cells to follow.
Ah, so the environment the key is operating in matters just as much as the key itself.
Precisely. The structural map also doesn't fully account for receptor oligomerization.
Oligomerization, meaning when they clump together.
Yes, where multiple receptors clump together on the cell surface, which can radically change their binding affinity and how they process signals.
Right, the dynamics change.
Factoring in those 3D tissue realities represents the next great frontier of this research. But make no mistake, the fundamental baseline encryption rules, those have been conclusively cracked.
Let's bring this all together for our listeners. Selectivity in the chemokine GPCR network isn't just a simple solid-state lock and key mechanism. It is a brilliant layered cryptographic system that relies on a precise mix of rigid structural scaffolds to get in the door, and highly flexible, rapidly evolving loops to find the exact match.
Exactly.
By decoding these public and private keys, and understanding the physical roadblocks of negative design, science can now engineer bespoke molecular signposts to control cellular traffic. What does this mean for the future of custom-built immune systems?
It means we are crossing a vital threshold. We are no longer just passive observers trying to map the immune system. We are acquiring the root-level access required to write its software.
It really leaves you with a mind-expanding thought as we wrap up this deep dive. If we can successfully edit this network to guide our own immune cells with pinpoint accuracy, could we eventually design synthetic decoy chemokines? Could we completely rewire a pathogen's GPS, sending viruses like HIV into cellular dead ends where they simply can't replicate, effectively using their own ancient trick of viral mimicry against them?
That's the million-dollar question for the future.
This episode was based on an open-access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Storm, same old spark in a thousand forms. Not every touch is meant to last. Some bonds are built to change that fast. A hidden rule in every bend, a steady core, a wild card in one small hot spot. It knows your name. Two big families, different sways. Same first step, then split the way. Loops and tips like subtle keys, clicking locks with slim ease. If we can read what the network writes, we can rewrite the midnight fights. Trade the pool, redirect the call. Gather rush through the hospital hall. A smarter map for where cells run. Turn the dial, not just the gun. One small hotspot, it knows your name. Hold the door for every flame. Then the soft motifs decide the route. Tune the signal in or out. We can edit what the system sends. Hotspot heart, wild card in.